Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Happy Friday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. You are an absolute legend for being here. I appreciate it a ton, and thank you for making Pack-A-Day part of your daily routine. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. Those things help the channel a ton. Also want to shout out those Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships. Speaking of which, thank you to Kay Lala for becoming a brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. Appreciate you a ton. And if you have not checked those out yet, make sure to do so. We did miss out on the members Q&A this week in lieu of a show of support for Tom Grassi and the big stream that he is putting on to raise money. And he's trying to raise $1 million, which is really, really incredible. We were able to help out a little bit by doing about an hour and a half stream, raised $500. I matched it. So we got $1,000 over to that cause. If you haven't checked it out yet, make sure to do so. And definitely worth your while, but happy that we were able to do that. But sign up to become a member. We'll get those member Q&As hopping next week as well. And should get back on track a little bit there with that happy hour coming up today at noon Central Time, a little bit of a different time. So also make sure to check out that. In just a moment, we're going to be going over a really fun topic, some under the radar free agent possibilities for Green Bay, some that I think could be in play for Green Bay, or maybe Brian Gutekunst, if you're listening, some that maybe should be in play for Green Bay. A little backstory on that in just a moment. But before we get there, just really quick, we got to see the first renderings of Lambeau Field and what the draft is going to look like come draft time in Green Bay. Still so excited about that. We got our first look at the stage, where it's going to be located. If you haven't checked it out yet, go over to Packers.com. Everything looks fantastic. We don't have all the details of like what's going to go on surrounding it and what else is all going to be blocked off and things like that. But just first renderings where Lambeau Field is in the backdrop and Oneida Street, using that as kind of the main, you know, alleyway where everyone's going to be. It looks awesome. So I'm really, really excited about it. And as excited as I was already, I got even more excited looking at those first initial renderings of what it's going to look like. So well done, NFL. Well done, Green Bay Packers. And the draft can certainly not get here in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Still weird to say soon enough. All right. Under the radar free agent options. Now, just the little backstory here and the most Andy thing possible. Did the live stream, went about an hour and a half, finished watching the hockey game, which was a tremendous game, super fun. Canada gets the win 3-2, and finished that up, had a couple other things that I needed to get done. And I'm looking at, you know, my plan was to go over the defensive ends for tomorrow, and, you know, kind of like we've been doing in some of these other shows. And I'm like, you know what? I want to dedicate a little bit more time to that. So I have a whole list of topics here. Got it right in front of me. Whole list of topics of like, I'm like, I go over my list and I'm like, what's something that I still need to put obviously the time, effort, energy in, but maybe isn't going to take me quite as long as what the defensive ends will. So I'm like, oh, you know what? I've been actually thinking about this topic, under the radar free agent options. I've been kind of keeping track of a few of these as we've been going along. So this should be one that, like, you know, I can kind of review, look through them, put some notes together and be able to, as you can imagine, in the most Andy way possible, I get started on this and I'm now looking under every crevice, every stone, like nothing's going to be unturned, right? So I am deep diving everything I possibly can, starting to watch film on some of these guys. And now we're here at 2:23 in the morning as I'm recording this. And of course, I cannot get myself to just be like, oh, let's just quickly talk about four or five players. That'll be fine. I can't do it. There's something wrong in my head where I have to go all in on it. So I spent way too much time finding you these 10 players that could be under the radar free agent signings. I did cheat on one of them. There's another one that probably has about 0% chance of happening, but I'm going to wish it into existence anyway. But I do think this is a very fun list to go over. So without further ado, here are 10 under the radar possible free agent signings for Green Bay in this free agent period. I'm going to start with number one, where you would start on a list of 10 players. Can you tell it's 2:24 in the morning? I'm going to start with number one. Shocker. Number one on my list is Alaric Jackson, offensive tackle for the LA Rams. Probably a player that you have not heard of. Probably a player that you're not super familiar with. Undrafted free agent, was somebody that I actually liked in the undrafted free agent process was hoping that Green Bay would maybe take a look at him. They did not, or maybe they did, but he ended up going to the Rams. And he has basically made himself from nothing into a very good starting left tackle in the NFL. It's just one of these success stories that doesn't happen a ton, but when it does, it's pretty darn cool. And this past year, best season of his career, looks like a legitimately really good starting left tackle. Can also play right tackle, has played guard in a pinch, like he has some versatility. Here's the tough part for Green Bay to sort of reconcile, right? Other teams, first of all, have seen this. He's going to get paid as a legitimately really good starting left tackle. I still think he's undervalued. So there could actually be a good value there for what I think can be a very good left tackle in this league and what already has been a really good left tackle in this league this past season with positional versatility. Can move him around. We know how much Green Bay values that versatility. The problem is you have Rashid Walker there. You have Jordan Morgan that you drafted in the first round that may just end up being a guard, but you did draft as a potential left tackle as well. Are you going to invest a bunch of money into a left tackle? Now, I would say I would have no real problem with it. You're getting more versatility. I believe Jackson is an upgrade over Rashid Walker. I believe he is just, again, a flat out better player. I think he's going to be able to move people a little bit better. I love Rashid. Don't get me wrong. I probably would lean more towards, let's just see if Rashid can take that next step and develop into a really good starter, just kind of like Alaric Jackson did. But if Green Bay wanted some real legitimate, not only just competition, if you're signing Alaric Jackson, you're signing him to be the left tackle, right? But you've got now Alaric Jackson. Now you've got Rashid Walker. And if Rashid Walker just steps up, or if Jordan Morgan steps up and one of them looks like a legitimate, really good starting tackle, we could theoretically have the Zach Tom conversation of, hey, do you want to see if he can become that Hall of Fame center or all pro center? You have Elgton Jenkins, Sean Ryan that can play a guard. You're just getting more and more options. And we saw, even if it is just Alaric Jackson at left tackle, if it's Zach Tom at right tackle, you know, maybe it's Elgton at center, Jordan Morgan and Sean Ryan at guards. And then you've got Rashid Walker as your top backup. That could be an option, but it's going to give you a lot more depth, a lot more competition, and just better players along the offensive line. So this is a very interesting one. Again, two-year starter, 78.4 PFF grade this past year, and a very, very talented, very good left tackle. So if Green Bay wanted to really upgrade the line, this is really probably the only like top-tier like offensive tackle prospect that I think they could potentially be even remotely interested in. But if I'm Green Bay, I'm at least calling the agent, seeing what the number is, seeing what it might take to get his services. Maybe the league isn't as high on him, and maybe Green Bay can get a steal. But he's a very good player. Again, 6'7", 345. Has everything that you're looking for. And that would be a very fun free agent signing. One that is, I don't think anyone has discussed. Again, not super likely, but I would have no issue if Green Bay wanted to go in that direction. Number two is one of my cheats. The one that has probably 0.001% chance of happening. So I'm just going to preface that. But I'm going to try to speak it into existence anyway. I talked about this one on Bleacher Report a little bit earlier this week. This is a linebacker, an off-ball linebacker, who is not going to play any special teams and is 35 years old. I swear to you, I promise you, I can look you in the eye and say I have no genuine, real, legitimate interest in players usually over like 26, 27, 28 years old as a general rule of thumb. There's always exceptions from time to time. But I've already gone on and on about how I think Khalil Mack is a real legitimate possibility at age 34 and should be a real legitimate option. And now I'm giving you a 35-year-old off-ball linebacker who's played 13,615 snaps in 13 years, over 1,000 snaps per season over a 13-year career, 35 years old, 67.9 PFF grade this past year. That linebacker is one of my favorite players from draft day up until now. When he was drafted originally, that is Levante David, the linebacker for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, I'll be crystal clear here. The reason why I think this is a great idea, the reason why I want this to happen, is because he, one, is a 4-3 linebacker all day, every day. Number two, you've got three young, impressionable linebackers on this roster right now. Quay Walker, Edgerrin Cooper, and Tyron Hopper. I can think of nobody better to add into that group to show work ethic, the tricks of the trade, all the little nuances of the game, and actually still being able to play some as well than Levante David. It is a match made in heaven for for him basically to be the veteran mentor to play next to those guys. Number three, I actually really like him in the 4-3 linebacker role. You're hoping that Tyron Hopper takes that step up, but if he doesn't, you're going to need somebody who can play it. Lavonte David absolutely can. At age 35, he's not breaking the bank anywhere. And the other thing too is that he played 1,000 snaps the last couple seasons per year. You can finally say, Lavonte, you can take a little break here. We're going to play you closer to like 400 or 500 snaps as a 4-3, you know, off-ball linebacker. It's going to be it's going to primarily be Quay. It's going to primarily be Edgerrin Cooper. Those are the guys that are going to be on the field a ton in 4-3. Or if one of those guys goes down, we could use you a little bit as well in nickel. He still has the ability to do that. But I think in maybe a smaller sample size, he could even do better than what he was in these last couple seasons playing 1,100 snaps at his age. So I actually love this from all aspects. The only issue is you're looking at a potential like number 3-4 linebacker who can't play any teams at all. But this is not for this defense particularly, although I think he can help. This is for Edgerrin Cooper specifically. This is for Tyron Hopper, and this is for Quay Walker. I think his presence in that room makes all three of those guys better. And I have three super talented linebackers, a first, a second, and a third round pick that are, again, super impressionable, that are going to pick up on the nuances of what Lavonte David is doing. I love this idea. Do I think it's going to happen? Like I said, probably not. All right. I'm going to be transparent with you. I'm not going to try to sell you a bag of goods here of like, yep, he's going to be a Packer. It's not likely, but man, would I love it. I would absolutely love it. And again, this is a investment into your young linebackers. They're still going to get a lot of playing time, all the young linebackers, but Lavonte David is now there to, again, sort of lead by example, play some snaps, play fewer than he's used to, and he still has enough left in the tank. I love this idea. Many of you may not. That's okay. Again, I'm not super usually anywhere near the 35-year-old off-ball linebacker. As I've talked about in the past, I have enough former Tampa Bay linebacker PTSD when Hardy Nickerson at age like 74 came to Green Bay and tried to chase Michael Vick in his prime. And I still have flashbacks of that. So I'm not looking for that situation. But for a few hundred snaps per season, a player like Lavonte David who can mentor those three younger ones, I'm all in. Would be all in on it. Number three on my list, Jedrick Wills, offensive tackle or offensive lineman for the Cleveland Browns. He's 26 years old, was the former number 10 overall pick in the draft. 6'5", 307. He's played left tackle through the entirety of his career. Came out of college as a right tackle. There were some thoughts coming out of college that he could be a right tackle, left guard, right guard. Could play a variety of different positions. I think that is the case. He only played 245 snaps this past year. He's been pretty banged up and injured. 52.9 PFF grade, nothing special. Here's the thing. This is not a player that you're bringing in to be a starter. This is not a player that you're bringing in as a big-time free agent signing. This is your new Andre Dillard. Former first-round pick, has bounced around, has not found his footing. He hasn't bounced around teams yet. He probably will. But this is your former first-round pick that you're trying to bring in and sort of have some sort of reclamation project. And he's like PFF had him as a one-year, $3 million deal. You know, not too dissimilar. I know, you know, Dillard was on a vet minimum, but you know, it's a couple million dollars extra maybe for Jedrick Wills. I'm cool with that. I really liked him coming out. I think he would potentially be better at right tackle or maybe even at guard. Try to move him around a little bit, see if a new change of scenery that's not Cleveland, that's actually a good franchise that knows how to develop players a little bit better, can bring him in and make him into something and just kind of give him that makeover. And maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, but he's a cheap flyer with a talented player. I know he's had some injuries, and give him a chance, see what he can do. And worst case, maybe ends up being your number 9 or 10 offensive lineman, which is there's worse things in the world to have happen. And I think he could actually be somebody that you do maybe have a little bit of a makeover on and maybe get something out of. But this is basically Andre Dillard 2.0. And I think you are looking for players like that. That's never a bad thing. See if maybe they get to that first round pick form that they were, you know, that the team was specifically trying to get when they drafted him. Didn't work out. Green Bay takes him on and maybe they can get something a little bit more out of him. But I like that idea for Jedrick Wills. Well, we made it 1 week in the books with no football whatsoever. And I don't know about you guys, but I made it in large part because it was a phenomenal week on Prize Picks. And Prize Picks has you set for all of your favorite sports, not just football. And it is such a great time of the year to get invested in college basketball, soccer, pro hoops, and much, much more. And while there's never a bad time to sign up, right now you can download the app and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. So what will your prize picks be this week? Here are mine. I'm going with James Harden for LA. I'm also going with Karl-Anthony Towns in New York. I think he's going to have a massive week. Lastly, I'm going with Leon Draisaitl for Edmonton as hockey gets back in full swing this upcoming weekend. Just make sure that you don't forget to download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game. Number four is the one that I said I was legitimately cheating on. It's tough to be an under-the-radar free agent when I've done a deep dive on this player already. So we've talked about them, and it just inherently, it's like not under the radar. But I'm going to go over it anyway. It's Levi Nwuzurike. Of all the players that we continue to talk about, the Milton Williamses, the pass rushers on the outside, Osa Odighizuwa, I still feel like Levi Nwuzurike is getting underrated throughout this entire process. And you look at Spotrac and PFF and what they're expecting Nwuzurike to get. To me, it looks far undervalue. He hasn't done anything amazing in his career, but he is a 6'3", 304, defensive tackle, 27 years old, has played for the Detroit Lions, knows how to play the game the right way. 8.73 RAS was the 41st pick coming out of the draft in 2021. 28 tackles, one tackle for loss, 1.5 sacks and a forced fumble. Isn't exactly jumping off the page, but I thought he played much better than that. Just a really good football player, and you're still getting him in the prime of his career. I think he would really help the defensive tackle position in Green Bay. Maybe the reason that you're not going to do it is because it's such a strong defensive tackle draft, but I think this is somebody that's getting slept on, and it would not surprise me if the team that got Levi Nwuzurike really had a gem and somebody that is going to get still better and play some of his best football ahead of him. So I still really like it. It's still a little bit under the radar for me, which is why I'm putting it on this list. But I know we've talked about him, but still sign me up for Levi Nwuzurike. If you want to know more about him, you can check out the episode that I did deep diving both on Nwuzurike and Osa Odighizuwa. Number five, I talked about on our wide receiver video earlier this week, so I'm not going to go into too much detail here, but Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, 28 years old, 63.4 PFF grade, 32 catches, 497 yards, 15.5 yards per catch, and 9 touchdowns, 6'2", 211. And remember, he's been doing this in Tennessee as a former undrafted free agent who's not had any quarterbacks in Tennessee through the entirety of his career. And he's still making a name for himself. I don't think you're going to bring him in and have him be this massive playmaker, but he's good in the red zone. You can see as well the 9 touchdowns, right? 15.5 yards per reception is nothing to overlook. He's a good football player. I swear to you, every single time I turn on the Tennessee Titans, this dude is making a play. I don't turn on the Titans a ton, I'm going to be honest with you, but when I do, I have literally noticed this player for the last couple seasons, and he's caught my eye every single time. He's really good. He's a really good player. Now, does he completely change your depth chart at wide receiver? No. Is he going to be that much different than what you already have on the roster? No. But if you're looking for a piece, right? Maybe you strike out on the 1A wide receivers, and then it just doesn't make sense to go kind of in the next tier. The draft doesn't look as, enticing as maybe they were hoping. Could you get a Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and just add him to that group of young, I know he's 28, but overall young talented wide receivers? Sure. And do I think you could succeed in Green Bay? Absolutely. So do not hate this idea. I think he could be a piece, not the piece, but a piece at wide receiver for Green Bay. Number six is a familiar name. The linebacker that caused Green Bay some damage in their opening playoff game. That's Oren Burks. Now, I don't know what Green Bay's appetite is going to be to bring back Oren Burks. And I want to be clear here. I'm not saying this is going to be a big time free agent signing, right? But think about what Green Bay needs. Green Bay needs a number four linebacker who's great on special teams and can come in and play in a pinch if you need him. That's Oren freaking Burks. Like, that's exactly who he is. I mean, he played good football this past year. When needed at linebacker, he went in and performed. I think he had over an 80 PFF grade this past season. You add on top of that he's a fantastic special teams player. I don't think I need to remind you of the forced fumble on Keyshawn Nixon. This is exactly what you're looking for at your number four linebacker spot. Somebody who can potentially start if you need him to, gives you good reps, can cover a little bit, can run defend a little bit, has gotten better as a tackler, and is a core special teams guy. Not going to break the bank, probably 1 year, $2.5 million, $3 million, something like that. That's like the ideal number four linebacker. In fact, he's a younger, better, more physical version of Eric Wilson at this stage of his career. So I think that could absolutely make sense for Green Bay. A little bit weird to bring back a former third round pick who you've released previously, but hey, who cares about all that stuff? If he can come in and help you, so be it. And he's not going to be someone that breaks the bank. And I think he can help Green Bay in a variety of different ways. Number seven, offensive lineman Dylan Reduns, another Tennessee Titan here, 6'6", 301, second round pick, 53rd overall, swing offensive lineman, 27 years old. He can play a little bit of tackle, primarily going to play some guard. Hasn't really clicked in Tennessee, but I think, again, get him to Green Bay, some new coaches, get him maybe in a different position. I think he can give you multiple position versatility. Again, probably going to be a cheaper free agent signing. Get him in, see what he can become. I think there's still some meat on the bone there. Really liked him coming out of the draft, and I think he can be, again, a player that plays numerous positions. We know how much Green Bay values that, and I think he could be a very fun, sneaky free agent signing that gives you depth as maybe, again, your seventh, eighth, ninth offensive lineman. It's not going to break the bank. He can add that depth for you, and I do think he can get better with time. Again, still 27 years old, still very much in the prime of his career. Number eight, in fact, number nine, eight and nine are players that you're probably not, again, super familiar with. Number eight is Hunter Long, tight end for the Rams, 6'5", 253, was a third-round pick in 2021, had a 66.6 PFF grade this past year. You might be thinking, Andy, Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave, what are we doing signing a tight end? This is a value tight end who is becoming a very good blocker. One of the best pass-blocking tight ends in the league, good run-blocking tight end, and you add him to the mix, he's an upgrade from John Fitzpatrick, he's an upgrade from Ben Sims, and you solidify that number three tight end spot, giving you one of your better, if not your best run blocking tight end, your best pass protecting tight end. And, you know, you don't really need to develop somebody there. This is not somebody that's going to cost a ton of money. You know, I don't think you need to go in and bring in Mercedes Lewis again or something like that. You get somebody a little bit younger, a little bit more athletic, but he's a good blocker, arguably the best blocking tight end on the market. So go get him, solidify that spot. That's going to help Josh Jacobs. You know, Musgrave is not always going to be on the field. There's going to be specific situations for him. You get Hunter Long and Tucker Kraft out there, it's a good run blocking two tight end set. Don't hate the idea of that at all. So go get one of the better run blockers and pass blocking tight ends in the league. You're going to have a use for that. It's not going to break the bank. All right, go get those fringes. Like, a lot of times we always talk about the big free agent signings, but sometimes it's the ones that you make incremental upgrades to the fringes of your roster. And going with a Hunter Long over a Ben Sims or a John Fitzpatrick, that's an upgrade on the fringe of your roster that may not look like much, but every little bit helps as you're trying to be the best team overall and try to make that push towards the Super Bowl. Number nine, Marquise Bell, linebacker slash safety for the Cowboys. 6'3", 205, 76.8 PFF grade in 2023, 51.6 grade in 2024. Here's the story of Marquise Bell. Undrafted free agent, safety, didn't really play his rookie season. In year two, with Dan Quinn, they moved him to linebacker, and he played that hybrid linebacker role. If you remember, Green Bay nuked it when Aaron Jones and Green Bay went in there because they didn't have the size. He's a 200-pound safety playing linebacker with Dan Quinn. He was fantastic at it all season long, like really, really good. 76.8 PFF grade, and I honestly think it didn't do it justice. He was really great in pass coverage. They could use him as a blitzer. He was super quick as a quote-unquote linebacker. And they just said, we're going to go undersized that linebacker. We don't care. And it worked up until Green Bay really said, we're just going to run at you. And then they just kind of ran over him in those looks. But here's a couple things. So then Dan Quinn is gone. They bring in Mike Zimmer. Mike Zimmer didn't have a use for him at linebacker because he wasn't big enough. So they move him back to safety, and it didn't work out. He barely played. He played, 34 snaps this past season. After playing 701 the year before that, he did have an injury in there as well, but you get the point. So here's the moral of the story. If you just play him at linebacker full time, it's not going to work. Teams are going to run at him and it's going to be a problem. On obvious passing downs, if you wanted to get him in there and nickel, you got a really good player. You've got basically a safety that knows how to play linebacker like a linebacker. And you also have him being really good in coverage, especially for, again, a linebacker. Like, it's a very intriguing signing. Plus, he can play, you know, special teams as well. I would give it a shot. Now, he is a restricted free agent. I don't think Dallas is going to give him a tender. I could be wrong. If they don't, he could be a fun free agent signing. And if they do, it's probably just a non-starter. But if he does become an unrestricted free agent, it'd be somebody that I would look at if I were Green Bay. Last but not least is the center for the Chicago Bears, Coleman Shelton. He was PFF's 12th ranked center this past year. Josh Myers was 38th. 6'4", 300. He'll be 30 in July. Has had 66.1 and 66.4 PFF grades these past two seasons. He was their, again, 12th ranked center. Similar pass blocker as Myers, but a much better run blocker. 1 year in Chicago. He's also had guard and center versatility. So he's primarily been a center, but he has played some guard as well. And I think he could be a potential, I don't know if I want to say stopgap, but like a 1 to 2 year starter at center in Green Bay. While they continue to develop maybe some younger guys, whether that's Jacob Monk or maybe somebody else. This would allow you to not have to move around Elgton Jenkins or Sean Ryan. I could see this being a potential option. And in fact, I think he might go cheaper than Josh Myers, but actually be the better player than Josh Myers. I think it's an upgrade and one that you can probably find relatively cheap on the open market. So my 10 under the radar free agents that I think Green Bay could and or should sign: Alaric Jackson, offensive tackle for the Rams; Levante David, linebacker for the Buccaneers; Jedrick Wills, offensive lineman for the Browns; Levi Nwuzurike, defensive tackle for the Lions; Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, wide receiver for the Titans; Oren Burks, linebacker for the Eagles; Dylan Radunes, offensive lineman for the Titans; Hunter Long, tight end for the Rams; Marquise Bell, safety linebacker hybrid for the Cowboys; and Coleman Shelton, center guard for the Chicago Bears. Those are my 10. Let me know what you think. If there anyone that piqued your interest, I would love to know. We'll get to our defensive end, defensive tackle, and some of those other breakdowns coming up here in the next couple of days. I am going to try to get to Chase Young as well. Make sure you check out the Tom Grassi Marathon. Do whatever you can to support that as well. We love Packer fans helping Packer fans. That is going to do it for me today. Always appreciate you guys a ton for showing up. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Huang, Arnoldo Espinosa, Peter Ataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Guestford, Steph Keat, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, and Razul Douglas time. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.